is 559.
104.9 FM, WSKB.
It's time for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV-FM. Listen live at 104.9 FM, stream at listenlikealocal.com, or enjoy the program on the official WSKV-FM app from the Google Play or Apple App Store. You can also listen on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast. You're listening to PCSN Live. Let's join Dave and Ken at the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to a second edition of Pack County Sports Network with live with Dave and Kent here on WSKV 104.9. We'd like to thank our sponsors. First and foremost, this will be our sports sponsors for allowing us to do this show. This is kind of our payback for those folks who have paid for their sports ads, and this is our way of giving you as much as we can. And during this segment, we'll be spotlighting, for the first part. Last week, we did myself with a softball coach, and then this week we'll be spotlighting two softball seniors here in the first, here in a few minutes. We'll have Riley Mays after the first break, and then have Lexi Crabtree after the half-hour break, have those two seniors on the air here, and then next week we'll try to rotate over to baseball. We'll try to get Frank Spencer on here, and then the seniors, either maybe part of the seniors next week, and they have a lot more than we did on softball. Again, it is a nice night right now. Again, there is still a thunderstorm watch. It has to be safe if you're outside later on this evening. Nice weather right now. Hopefully around 8 o'clock it'll be nice. We are planning on turning our lights on at 8 o'clock, and the lights will be on for 20 minutes and 20 seconds to recognize our senior players tonight. So I think most of the teams in the 14th region are getting together tonight, and maybe around the state at 8 o'clock. Again, if you'll see the lights come on at your stadiums nearby, it is the recognition of our seniors who just didn't get a chance to have a season this year.
Yeah, that's unfortunate under the circumstance. Obviously, a lot of high hopes, high expectations with what players and coaches thought was actually going to happen. Unfortunately, coronavirus, COVID-19, kind of stepped in and has kind of changed and altered that. But it's a nice way of recognizing those players, those teams under these circumstances, and again, it's a nice gesture, obviously.
Yeah, on the flip side of that, it has a south side note, I guess, to it. We're not allowed, the kids aren't allowed to come over to see the lighting of the field, but it'll just basically be a thing we do to recognize, just the lights coming on themselves to recognize our seniors. So if you're looking up towards Stanton, if you live in Clay City, if you're looking down toward Clay City, if you live in Stanton or further out, if I'm on the mountain, you can see the lights come on. You wonder why the lights are on in the city. And just a kind of a throw that out there, if you listen to WSKV right now, it is because we are lighting the fields, again, 20 minutes, 20 seconds, just to recognize those spotlight seniors. Again, kids can't come because we're not allowed to gather together for recognition, but it's the thought of the turning on the lights for them.
And thus, even us doing this program, obviously, in order to give them an opportunity to be recognized under these difficult circumstances, kind of get caught up with them, see how things are going with them, and to give them that opportunity in a small way. Obviously, everyone would love to have the season. You'd love to be outside playing, coaching the sport, just like your players would. Obviously, Greg and I would like to be on the radio broadcasting, baseball and softball games as well for all the fans that are out there. But it's not happening, unfortunately.
Dean, Megan, and myself were all talking yesterday. This has probably been one of the nicest springs that we've had in a long time. And unfortunately, we've been unable to play. And originally, we thought we'd lose a lot of games due to rain. And we would have lost a couple, but then the weather turned nice. Now, on the flip side of that, for Powell County, I didn't have a game scheduled this week until Friday and Saturday, which is supposed to get cool again. But Monday, Tuesday, tonight wouldn't have been a bad night, but yesterday would have been absolutely beautiful to play softball. We didn't have a game scheduled. Again, and so Thursday, we were off. we were going to kick back our schedule on Friday night and play Friday night, Saturday night, and then start spring break next week. So we actually have another week we were off. Now that school has canceled spring break and put it at the end of the calendar, which was a wise move for the school system, I think, to do that. But, you know, hopefully at some point, hopefully the senior class gets some kind of a recognition. I know Mr. Brewer's working on something to try to do for the seniors at some point. Like to maybe get him on here one night just to talk to him about what it's, you know, I know these kids are missing out on a lot of things, you know, their prom, senior prom, their graduation, probably not get a typical graduation ceremony unless it's next year sometime or like in next school year sometime. I just don't see that we're going to come out of it that quickly here.
No, I would totally agree with you. I don't necessarily see anything happening, although obviously they're probably making contingent plans just in case, even if it is sometime in July or something, in order to get some kind of closure. And if anything, it would be nice to get through this, to be able to bring the students back, to have some type of closure. I think everyone would probably enjoy that to some extent, just to say, even if it was for one day, hey, this is your last day, in a sense, for this particular school year. Everybody come together, recognize the students, that kind of thing, and then kind of break for summer. Likely that wouldn't necessarily happen, but it would be nice to have some type of closure instead of this long extended period of time to be off.
Well, I know for me, when I graduated Eastern, I was a December graduate. So I had the option to go back and have graduation services with the rest of the class in the spring. Well, as you know, or maybe you don't know, but I was kind of like, I've already done my senior. I don't want to go through the big long spiel in the field, so I'm out. It's not like a high school graduation, I guess, but, you know, even when you graduate college, you want to go through the commencement. And they at least have commencement exercises in the winter, but you're allowed to go through the spring graduation process, and that's always nice. But, you know, I don't think all the kids would come back for it. Some of them would just be glad it's over. But the ones who at least want it would have some kind of a recognition process at some point during the year. And again, if we can go back to school in August at some point, you should be able to recognize the kids at some point then, because apparently you're open to gatherings. That's where, you know, where we're at now. We can't have the gathering. So, once you get back to the public gatherings, then you may get a revamp of all this stuff that's going on that's bad right now. But hopefully we'll get it all cleared up as soon as it can, and people will at least be careful and use good hygiene, washing your hands more often, learn how to sneeze or cough again, and things you've been taught, use those hygiene processes, because I don't think anything's going to change there. I think that'll just be a new normal on how you do things. And we may be like China and go back with bandanas. I'm not sure where we're going at some point. You have to get some semblance of normal back out there, and I'm not sure what that semblance of normal is going to look like.
That's a good question. I mean, in general, obviously, you know, it was the face mask.
Yeah.
You know, not necessarily, but now it's like, if you're going to be in grocery stores, things along that line, where there are a lot of people kind of gathering, in a sense, to get those belongings, yeah, you might want to consider that under those circumstances. But also, they're starting to restrict the number of people who are able to go in.
Correct.
At a certain time. So therefore, you look at that circumstance. Obviously, keeping yourself, your hands washed, sanitized, that kind of thing. But then you have to realize as well, all right, you're touching the products, you're touching the carts, you're touching the keypad, you know, if you're paying by credit or debit or something along those lines. So therefore, you still have to be careful in a sense. Again, using that sanitizer, putting things up, putting things away. To some extent, maybe it is the new normal. I hope it's not the new normal. You know, it's going to be the new normal for a while.
For a while.
Exactly, for a while. And there's nothing wrong with good, you know, practicing good hygiene in a sense. But at the same time, hopefully we get to the point where face masks, you know, the gloves, not that we shouldn't always wash our hands and sanitize. That should be standard procedure.
Right, it should be
in general. Anyway, exactly. You know, and there's a lot of people that, you know, are kind of over the top in a sense. As far as doing that, nothing wrong with that either, as far as being able to, you know, wash your hands and sanitize along those lines. Hopefully it's not the new normal, but again, we're all going through this together. We have to be patient. We have to be courteous, if anything, too. Kind of wait your turn, in a sense. Don't get in a hurry. Don't get in a rush. And I realize, like, people, every time is important to everyone. But at the same time, realizing we're going to get through this together. Be courteous. Be kind to everybody. We'll come out on the other side and hopefully be stronger. I know that, you know, in a sense, because that life has been altered, in a sense, I'd like to think that everybody has a different perspective on life in general, in relationships and things along that line, that under the circumstances, maybe we do come out collectively stronger as a group with more kindness, more caring for our fellow human, you know, our fellow neighbors and citizens and community, that kind of thing.
I think for one example, I'll use educators. I think they come out of this with a whole different perspective with folks. I think that the job our educators are doing by sending all the work home, and the parents need to work with the kids, and they need to try to teach them, and they're learning how the teachers what they deal with every day, and it's a whole lot more difficult than people think. And I would, you know, like to say this, like to thank the patience of the parents, because if they're going out and work, it's a lot of hard work when you come home to work with your kids, and I think our educators understand that. But the same token, your kid still needs their educational process, and keep it as going as much as you possibly can. And like you said, I think there's a different understanding for everybody, parents, educators, daycare workers, whatever the area may be. We're getting a whole different understanding of, I think, how everybody else functions out there when we just have to stay at home. And please, you know, if you're out there, follow the stay-at-home guidelines as much as possible. Get out what you do need.
And I will say this real quick. You know, the teachers are available.
Yes.
You know, I can remember even when my kids were in fourth and fifth grade math, the way that they learned and the way that I learned, totally different. So therefore, you know, had to get help in a sense just to help them get through the process. So parents, if you're out there and you're struggling with this, get in touch with your child's teacher, whether it's through email, text, phone call, et cetera. They're trying to make those contacts. Take those phone calls from them to help your child to get through this. Better educate yourself as well as to help your child to get through this process. That's what they're there for. And obviously, we want everybody to be successful.
That is exactly right. We're going to step away for first break. We'll come back and hopefully have Riley Mays on the line, our first Spotlight Senior, here on PCSN with Dave and Ken. Here right after the break, here on WSKB 104.9 FM.
The COVID virus is presenting challenges all over the world, all over our country, all over the state, and even all over our county. Nobody understands this better than Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram, right off the Mountain Parkway exit 22 in Stanton. As part of the closure of non-essential businesses, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, for the safety of their employees, their customers, and their community, is going to be closing until further notice. Of course, Daryl's primary concern is his 23 employees at Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram, taking care of them and their families. He loves this community, and he's proud to be a local business owner. So remember, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram encourages you to care for your family and loved ones during this time.
Tanner Dodge Chrysler Jeep.
Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, and they know that you're unique in the way you want to do banking. That's why they offer great services like Phone Smart, where you can call and find out about your account. Or how about text banking, where you can text and find out exactly what you want to know about your account. And you can set up really cool text alerts and find out when maybe you drop below a certain balance, reminding you to balance your checkbook. They have online banking and convenient apps for Android and Apple. Those apps give you the ability to make mobile deposits. Just snap a picture of your check and deposit it. Whitaker Bank also allows you to apply for a loan online at their website at WhitakerBank.com. And don't forget, you have access to your money 24/7 with Whitaker Bank's ATMs, where you can make a cash withdrawal day or night. For more information about these great services, call the main branch at 606-663-2283. That's Whitaker Bank, Stanton, Clay City, and Campton. Whitaker Bank, uniquely Kentucky. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Imagine Wireless wants to know if you're tired of settling. Settling for a phone you didn't really want because it was more about the cost of the device rather than the phone you really wanted. Well, Appalachian Wireless has the solution, and it's called the Appalachian Advantage. With Advantage, every phone model is back on the table because you only have to pay the taxes on the device you really want. Many of our hottest smartphones are less than $50 up front, then a few extra dollars on your monthly bill with Appalachian Advantage. Payment agreement is required. See store for complete details.
Welcome back here to PCSN with Dave and Ken. And this is David Faulkner, and I'll have Ken Simon. And we're being joined now by Riley Mays. Are you on there, Riley? Are you on there, Riley?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me? Yes,
we can. I had to hit a button. I forgot to hit it. I'm going to, first of all, this is Riley Mays. He is a senior softball player at Powell County High School. She played third base in the outfield and was looking forward to some of those positions, I'm sure, this year. And this time I'm going to turn it over to Kim for some questions.
All right, Riley, just so you know, we're just having a conversation, okay? Just like if we were standing in a Kroger and we're just, you know, having a conversation in the aisles there, okay?
All right.
All right, so what was your outlook for the team this season going into your senior year?
Well, going into this season, you could already tell from the start that we had a really strong team. We had girls that have worked all summer just to be able to help the team this year. And you could tell that it was just going to be a really good outcome this year.
Okay, as far as practices, how were practices going, or even prior to the practices, even conditioning, the number of players that were kind of coming out, taking advantage of the conditioning as well as even the practices, how was that going for you all?
We had so many girls come out to conditioning, I think it just kind of shocked everybody, like how many girls were there. But practices and conditioning were good. We got on the field a couple times, but the weather always got in our way, and then everything hit. But we were conditioning a lot in the case, so you could tell that it was going to be better than previous.
Okay, what about team chemistry? How would you say the team chemistry was, especially there in the early stages, even going back to the conditioning?
We just, like, immediately everybody just clicked. Even the new girls that had just came up, we were already a family as soon as that first practice hit, and it was just good chemistry between everybody.
Okay, as far as being a leader, in a sense, being the senior on that team, how were you able to kind of reach down to some of those younger players and have conversations with them, whether it was the conversations of encouragement, et cetera, along those lines to try and help build them up as part being a part of your team?
Well, there was a lot of new freshmen that we hadn't really got to interact with as much, but as conditioning and stuff went on, we talked more and we got to know them and we got to just, like, become closer, and then we also got to, like, mentor them. Like, when we would go to the cage, we would tell them, like, there's little things that you could do better, and it wasn't as if they took it the wrong way either. It was just really like a helpful environment with the seniors and younger girls.
Okay, more along the lines of advice or something, just that insight that you had having played as many years as you had. So obviously that was great that they were able to kind of receive that in a sense, take that advice, and hopefully help improve themselves. Because obviously sometimes when you've been through something like that, and you step back and then you see someone else, not so much that they're struggling, but you can give them that tip. Obviously, it can pay dividends, especially if they're open and receptive to that.
Mm-hmm. And I also had girls, like previously, I know the seniors last year, that you always have that expectation to live up to the ones before you. And I had great mentors. Even as an eighth grader or a freshman, I always had those seniors to encourage me and tell me, like, little stuff that I could improve on just to make me better. And I think that's what I wanted to be going into as a senior. I wanted to help the younger girls as much as the seniors before helped me.
Okay, that's great. As far as team goals, what kind of goals are, had y'all even had an opportunity to even set team goals for yourself?
We did. Actually, our first conditioning, we had already said that we wanted to go farther in district tournament and in the number of games we won this year compared to the number of games we had won last year. And I think that was a goal that we were working towards that we could have got.
And let me ask you one here, Riley, just to kind of highlight your career, I guess, if you will, at Powell County. Can you tell me some things that you've done or how many years you've played and kind of give us a little bit of a detailed description about how long you've played and some of your favorite moments and things you've got to do in high school softball?
Well, I have played softball, high school softball, for 5 years. I started at the very end of my eighth grade year, and I have played in the outfield and played base and some, but it's just, how we compare is just a team, like a family. Like, we always have those great memories that we get to have together, and it's memories we'll never forget. It's only just a sense of family. As soon as you step in the room or on the field, you can just tell that it's a happy environment and an encouraging environment.
Do you have any, like, individual highlights that you want to share or some things that have meant a lot to you in the process?
Oh, gosh. There's been so many.
You know, this is something you get to speak on. You're like your senior now. These are some things you get to talk about, right?
Yeah, it is. And, oh, gosh, seeing that, that's something very sad to think about. But I think my favorite ones, my favorite tradition that we always do is at the end of senior night when we always have our cupcake fights and we always just get to run around and have a ball with everybody. I think that's always been my favorite thing we do.
Now, you don't like cupcakes to the face, Riley.
I do when I get to do it to you.
Correct.
That's when I like it. Yeah.
You usually run really fast for me because I'm always trying to get you. You're one of my number one targets.
Yeah. That's probably the only time I run really fast is when somebody's chasing me with a cupcake.
Well, you run fast when I'm thinking you were really a lot faster than you are sometimes too, right?
Yeah, I am.
Little inside joke there.
So what about as far as even your interest in softball, where did that kind of start for you growing up, and what kind of piqued your interest to actually come out and even start playing?
Oh, gosh. I've had a whole family full of softball players. I think when I was little, I think I was groomed to be a softball player. I was always watching my cousin and my coach, Megan Mays, or I was watching my sister, Shaylin, or my cousin, Kaylee, and I was always at the softball field. And I always got a feel of that environment. So I think that's when I really fell in love with it, was when I was younger. And I don't think I've ever lost that passion for it. And I think I always wanted to be as great as they were when I was watching them play.
Yeah, and you've got some connections too. Jeff, your father, always liked to coach and be around that. And he kind of took that from his dad, Jerry, who was over Little League and coached for a long time, your grandfather. And I know you've been around ball all your life when you talk about just the Mays tradition, I guess, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My dad was really, he was so encouraging when I was younger in softball, and he always, like, pushed me to be the best I could be, even when I wasn't feeling it. On a certain day, he always pushed me to, like, be the best I could be and give everything I had on the field.
It's always a good lesson to learn right there.
Yeah.
So what about favorite moments, you know, as far as throughout the, you know, your years of playing, anything that really stands out as far as one of those favorite moments, one of those highlights for you?
In certain games, I've had highlights where I want to say it was either my freshman or sophomore year. It was one of those years when I was on the team, and it's always playing Estill County. Like, I think that for any high school senior, your biggest moment and your favorite moment is always playing Estill County. And I want to say my freshman year somewhere in there would be Estill County, and I was actually on the team. And it was just, like, a great moment to have is when you finally beat your rival.
I'm trying to think of that moment, but I'll go ahead and let you. Go ahead.
I think I was younger.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to give you some time to think about it. We're going to have to step away for a break. We'll come back more with you here in just a moment, right? All right?
All right, thank you.
All right, hang on.
No matter your emergency, Clark Regional Medical Center is here for you. Dealing with emergencies is never easy when they happen. It's important for you to know that you have someone in your corner. Whether you're facing a medical situation yourself or a loved one needs immediate care, we're here for you 24/7. Our emergency trained staff puts patients first and never forgets about the family, communicating every step of the way through rapid treatment. No matter your emergency, Clark Regional Medical Center is here for you.
You can count on the Pirates for a great game. You can count on Lisa, Shauna, and Minnie at Whitaker Insurance Group for low rates and expert personalized service that makes you feel right at home. Talk to a team that will help you through the tough times in life while keeping you in the game with your monthly budget. Whitaker Insurance Group, exit 22 off Mountain Parkway at 130 South Main Street in Stanton. 606-663-2283. That's 606-663-2283.
Insurance product, not a deposit, not FDIC insured, not guaranteed by the bank or any federal government agency. May lose value, subject to risk.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Richmond. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
Apex Physical Therapy is supporting the live broadcast of your Powell County Pirates. Located at 156 West College Avenue here in Stanton, Apex Network Physical Therapy can help you get back to the game, back to the job, or just help improve the quality of your life. That's Apex Physical Therapy, right here in Stanton. Give them a call at 606-393-6505. Go Pirates!
All right, welcome back here to PCSN. Live with Dave and Ken, and here's Ken and Riley on the phone for some more questions.
All right, Riley, as far as positions, any favorite position that you have enjoyed playing more than others?
My favorite position would have to be third base, because I just like being up and personal with everything, and there's always something new you can learn in that position.
That's a tough position as well. It's probably the toughest position besides catching that's probably in the game, just because you're in that hot box, in a sense, ready for anything to happen.
It is, and it's a very hard position to learn. And I actually had one of the best players I've ever watched play on third base, which would be Emily Branham, and she has always been somebody I've looked up to in that position.
Yeah, I can't think that you're wrong there. She's probably one of the best third basemen I've ever had. Just to watch her play was really fun, and she was good to model after. And if you're trying to model after her, I think that's a good one to try to do.
What team were you most interested in playing this year?
What was that?
What teams were you most interested in facing off against, playing against?
Oh, my favorite team to always play against, no matter what, will always be Estill County. I was groomed as a child that Estill County is your rivals, and that's just somebody that you love to play, and it's always good energy to play Estill County.
That's a good point. Those are always good games. I agree, even as a fan.
Yeah, and it really seems like every time we get to play Estill County for about four or five innings, we're right there with them, and then all of a sudden just kind of the wheels kind of fall off or something. But I always think we're always in it till we think we aren't, and then just kind of we implode sometimes when we play Estill County like that. But, I would agree with you. It's always one of the biggest challenges to get up for, and it's when you beat somebody as few times as we have in the past, it's always something to look forward to.
Any other teams? Any other teams regionally that you were kind of looking forward to? Any teams that, you know, maybe you lost to last year that you felt like you could have had that game, and looking forward to kind of getting back up against that team as well?
For me, it's always I look forward to playing every game, and it just really doesn't matter the team to me. I always just go in with everything I have, and I just always look forward to going back to those different teams, like Lee County or Alger County and see how they've developed and how we've developed over the years and how we play against each other. I think it's always just whoever we're playing that day that I'm always looking forward to playing.
So as far as your outlook, competing for a district title, regular season district title and tournament title, what was your outlook for that, and who do you think was going to be the toughest competition?
I personally think that I always think our toughest competition is always Estill County, of course, because I think it's also a mental thing when we play them. And I think we could have got really far in the district tournament. I think we could have either got, of course I want to say that we win it all because our team was so strong this year just starting out, but I think we had that really good chance, and I think this would have been our year for that.
See, when you're not playing the season, you especially have to say that, because who's going to say that you couldn't do that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a great outlook in general. I mean, the way I look at it as well is that it doesn't matter who the other opponent is. You should always go out with that mentality, you know, as far as we're here to win. It doesn't matter who the other team is. And I like even what you said as far as, you know, you're ready to play every game, no matter who it is that you're playing against. That type of mentality, you know, goes really well, especially as far as even younger players. When you come out in that leadership role and all of a sudden you're saying, this is our game, even if it doesn't necessarily go your way, you get up for the next game, say, this is our game. You know, we're going to win here tonight, and have that positive outlook. I love that that you bring to your team.
Go ahead.
I think it always helps that no matter what game I was playing, like even if it was in middle school softball, my mom, she always told me, no matter what the team, you can't go in and think you're always going to win. You always have to play like you're the underdog in the game. And I think that's always what's helped me.
I got just kind of a throwback question, I guess, a little bit here. Or maybe backing up questions, saying like that. What did you first think when we had our first break? Obviously, we were out for the flu when we initially heard that we were going to be out for a while. Since then, what have you thought about having the season postponed or canceled as we are now?
I honestly, when we first got out, I didn't think it would last as long as it did. I thought we'd contain it, and it was just something like the flu. And now that it's the huge outbreak and the huge pandemic it is, it makes me sad that we can't continue our softball season, but I understand why it was on hold, and it still is on hold. Like, I get that we want everybody on the team to be safe, but it's just really sad that I won't get a senior season.
Yeah, but with what you just said, speak volumes of you, because you just put everybody else first and team was second there, because you do want to protect other people, and I want to really applaud you for those thoughts, because Ken and I talked about that a little bit last week. You know, softball season is really important to me and the team, but for the public safety, it's just something that had to be done, and hopefully people will continue following the stay-at-home orders, and maybe there could be some sort of semblance of a season at some time in maybe late May, and you have something going on. If people would just really follow these stay-at-home guidelines that we're getting from the state and the national and the federal government, if we just follow those things, maybe it dies down a little bit sooner rather than later.
And I would love that more than anything. But my first priority with everything is I just want people to be safe. I kind of, it's really hard on the nursing homes and stuff right now because they can't see their families. So I wouldn't want to jeopardize something too early and make all of our people that are at higher risk more sick than they need to be.
Yeah, I got one more follow-up question right of that one, right? What has it been? I know you're with your grandmother and your great-grandmother a lot. So what has it been for you not getting to see them as much as you would like to?
Oh, gosh. My Nana and my granny. My Nana's my grandmother. My granny is my great-grandmother. It has absolutely broke my heart not being able to be around them every day like I was and spend all night with them every week. And in the summertime especially, we're all over there every day. and my family's so, we're so close. I think we're closer than some families. We are always together, and it's just absolutely heartbreaking that you cannot spend every day with them like you want to.
So you got any shout-outs you want to give Phyllis and Jen right now?
Oh, gosh. Hey, Granny. Hey, Nana. I love you all. And I can't wait until this is over and I can come spend every day with you all.
So how are you even coping with that then? Not only not being able to see, family, but even friends and even, the normalcy as far as, going to school and practices and playing the game. So how are you even kind of dealing with that on a daily basis of just coping with all of this?
It's definitely hard. I think it's hard on everybody right now. And it's really sad that all of our seniors that have looked forward to senior year for so long, we don't get it. But I think that I understand that it's more that I can't be selfish at this moment in time because I need to look out for other people that need to stay safe and inside and healthy and stuff like that.
Good response. And again, big shout out to Jen and Phyllis. They're always big supporters of us as well. We're going to step away to another break. If you've got anything else you want to say, we're going to let you go after this break right here. If you want to say anything else before we let you go.
I do not.
All right, babe. Bye.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on here, Riley. Great interview. And
yes.
We'll talk at you later.
All right. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to take another break here on PCSN with Dave and Ken here on WSKB 104.9 FM.
Parents trust the emergency department at Mercy Health Markham and Wallace Hospital when their children hurt. When an emergency strikes, we are right down the street and ready to help. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on-site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is an accredited chest pain center and level 4 trauma center. You can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. Choose the emergency department at Mercy Health Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvine.
How can you practice without a court? That ball won't bounce on the grass. How else can you make those rebounds? Easy. Just call Hinkle Contracting for an easy fix. 606-663-2437. For all your asphalt and paving needs, think Hinkle Contracting, helping support the live broadcast of your Powell County Pirate teams.
At Davis & Davis Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event for your loved one. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com for more information.
Welcome back here to PCSN. So this is basically a senior spotlight show here with Dave and Ken, and now we're being joined. By the way, we couldn't have Lexi Crabtree on, so something came up, and she's going to be out here tonight, but big thank you to Lexi for coming out. But now we're being joined by my assistant coach, Megan Mays. And hello, Megan.
Hi.
So I'm going to turn Ken loose with you here real quick.
That's right. Scary.
By the way, how do you think that Riley did on her interview?
Well, I think she did awesome just as a coach. I was proud of her as a player. But as her being my little cousin, I was so proud. Can't even express how proud I was. She did an awesome job, and I was really proud of her when she said that she was just trying not to be selfish. So that shows a lot about who she is as a person, and I just was really proud of her.
Second completely with what you just said.
I'll give you a third even on that. You're exactly right. Let's kind of jump right into it in a sense. So what was your reaction in a sense, obviously when you first realized that, there was the dead period, and obviously now here where it looks like it's, canceled indefinitely as far as the season?
Well, when it first got postponed, I mean, I'm a teacher, and I obviously knew that it was necessary to postpone it because, like Riley said, we have to look out for everybody else. But when we first postponed, I still had a lot of hope that we may have a little bit of a season. When they came back and said that it was postponed indefinitely, I think I was more just like, I still get it, and I still understand why we have to do it. But I was kind of upset, like, about my players, because this preseason workout was unlike any other that I've seen as a coach here. We had more girls than we've ever had come out. They worked so hard. They were in the cage. They got things ready when we didn't ask them to, and it was a refreshing start to a new season, and we needed a new start after last season. And I was just really excited to get going, so I knew that they were upset, so I was upset for them more than I was for myself.
Yeah, and I would agree. I think really the leadership with the seniors and the juniors, I'll even throw them in there, with the leadership that we got out of those kids.
And some sophomores.
Very, very true. But again, I think the town took the lead of your seniors and juniors in there as well, and those were some really formidable people to work with. And like you said, it was pretty much a team effort in getting things ready for us.
So like I said, I was just so proud of them this preseason.
So as far as your outlook, based on what, you know, was happening in practices and your preseason outlook, what were your expectations as far as the season, what you saw possibly coming out of this team?
I had very, very high hopes for this season. Like I said, the girls were just working really hard, and I had conversations with a few of them on different occasions, and I still have through text messages. They told me that, you know, this was going to be their season, and this was going to be the year that they were going to have the best season. And, you know, so I really felt that too. Like, I knew that we were going to be much better than we had been, and these girls had worked so hard, and we had players. Like, we have a hard time finding pitchers. Like, and I've always tried to work with people and, you know, groom them to be a pitcher. And this year, we had like 14 girls staying after to try to work on pitching. So I just felt like this year was going to be such a great season.
Yeah, I agree. It's always been a short position for us, and it's not always we find that many kids that want to try. And, again, we like to throw this out to the kids individually that it's something you can continue to work on at home, even by yourself. You can throw up against the wall if you need to and just keep on working on the things that you learned over the fall or the spring workouts and keep it going through the summer and get ready for next year.
How are you even coping with this, you know, not being able to practice, not being able to, coach in these games and have your season? How are you even coping with just even dealing with that loss?
I think I'll go off what Riley said a little bit. I just know that I have to be okay with it because we're part of something bigger than we even realize we are right now. This is a part of history being written as we speak. So we're just a part of something so much bigger. I can't say that I'm not disappointed at all, but I do understand why we're having to do it. So I'm just doing it, and I'm trying to do my part to be, as Andy says, Team Kentucky. So I'm just trying my best to do my part and just stay home and stay healthy for other people.
That's a good point. So have you had an opportunity to talk to any other coaches in the district and or the region to have any conversations across the state with any of them as far as how they're even dealing and coping with this?
I have not had like personal conversations. I've had a conversation with a previous coach in the 14th region, and he said that it's just a weird time right now. That's how he described it. He's like, it's just weird that there's not some kind of athletic event going on that I can just go watch. He's from Perry County. And he said that, you know, he understands, too, why we're doing it, but he said it's just weird that there's nothing that he can go watch because he's always been involved in so many sports. And I feel that way, too. Like, I'm either coaching softball, going to baseball games, watching the Reds, you know, watching, you know, teams on TV, watching UK softball. So it's just weird. It's just a weird time right now. Like, there's no sports. And I have always grew up around sports. I love sports. So it's just weird.
Totally agree. It's definitely a different time on so many different levels. What are you doing to actually occupy your time? You'd mentioned your teacher. So how has that kind of played into your routine as far as what you're able to do as far as your students? And just even in general, how are you occupying your time outside of work?
Well, for work, I stay very busy during the day. I've called my kids and FaceTimed them, and I've set up meetings virtually so that I can see their faces, and I miss them so much I can't even describe it. But other than that, to occupy my time, I've spent a lot of time with my family, which I'm very blessed that I still live with my family and I'm able to see, you know, them. I've spent a lot of time on Netflix, I'm not going to lie. So I've watched a lot of stuff on Netflix, but spending time with my family is kind of refreshing because we're always so on the go and we're always, you know, getting home late, so we don't really have time to just sit down and spend time with each other. So that has been a blessing during all this. So if I had to look at it positively, that would be my biggest blessing.
Yeah, and if I will, as the teacher part, you and Dee are kind of on a routine. You get up usually of a morning and start working on your computers and getting your things ready for your for school. I guess logging your time and then also finding time to, again, contact your kids as they go through their day. And, again, what's it been like with you having to teach in a different way?
I've tried to look at it from a different perspective. I'm here to support my parents and to support my kids. And I've always been a firm believer as a teacher that kids don't care how much you know until they know how much you care about them. So I have just really tried really hard to just let my kids know that I'm still thinking about them and I miss them and I'm here, like, even today. I do a daily video every day, and I post it, but it's not anything like a lesson in the classroom. It's more like I do a daily quote, and I do my joke of the day like I do when we're at school, and I do a challenge. And I just, like, today I came back from the video crying because I was just, you know, I just wish that I could just hug them and love on them. And I even told them in that video, like, you guys can call me just to talk to me. Like, I miss you guys so much. Like, call and tell me your stories. Call and tell me what you're doing with your day. So it's been very different, but I'm trying to look at it from a different perspective, and I'm just trying to be here for the parents in any way that I can, and I'm trying to make their job easier because I know that not everybody is at home. So they're still working, and they're still doing other things, and they have other kids at home. So I've just tried to make it as easy as possible for them to get their schoolwork, you know, in a way that they can understand it and can get it done.
So even as far as the technology, something that you've had to learn, or, you know, as far as new technologies and ways to use that technology, or is it some of these things that you already had incorporated into your class and were just able to extend that out in a different area?
We at Stanton, every kid has a Chromebook, and we used it daily. We've used Google Classroom. We've used, like, all their programs, and they, you know, they get on it every single day. And I tried to do that because I know that the world's changing and everything's going to technology. And I didn't do it, like, preparing for this, but I feel like my kids were a little more prepared for the technology part of it than I would have been if it was when I was in fourth grade, if that makes sense.
See, you have benefited by being that young, energetic teacher. How do you think some of your older teacher friends are dealing with the same thing, pretty much? Are they doing the same thing you are?
I think everybody's different, just like everybody's teaching style is different. I think that some of the older teachers have had to learn a little bit more. I've actually had some call me to ask me how to do certain things. But I will say that I am very proud of our teachers as a whole district because they have had to make a lot of changes and they have done things that that we did not see coming, and they have had to be flexible. So I will say that, you know, we've changed our way of teaching, and we've been very flexible as a whole. So I am proud to work here.
And as a former teacher, that is huge as far as what you're talking about. When the older teachers have to kind of go young, and the younger teachers are helping the older teachers, this is kind of a nice time, if you will, as far as getting help to other teachers that may need it. And I think this is a time where everybody's kind of leaning on each other and making the best of what's out there.
And I think we've done a good job of that as a whole, like a whole unit, because we are a whole unit. Like, we have different schools, and we're different elementary schools and middle school and high school. But as a whole, I think that we, like, as a team, we have done a great job trying to transition into this And we're learning just as everybody else is learning, so we have had to change things along the way. But I think we're doing a good job with what we have.
Yeah, I've been very proud of it, really our entire staff with the school system, our educators, our paraeducators, bus drivers, aides, cooks, the whole nine yards. Everybody has really, really kind of bought into what I guess we're trying to get done, and everybody's done what they needed to keep it going. And I like just big shout out to all of our educators and the staffs here at the Powell County Schools. They've done a fantastic job throughout this.
And I would like to give a shout out to the ones that are still delivering food during this. Our cafeteria workers are obviously still working to prepare it, but I know like the aides and some teachers and stuff are volunteering, and that speaks volumes to me that they're still volunteering to do that in a time like this.
I agree. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So how are you even trying to stay positive during this time? You know, when you're waking up every morning, you know, to start a new video or new lessons, et cetera. So just even in general, how are you even trying to stay positive and cope with all of this?
My mom has always taught me that you create the day that you're going to have. So if you wake up and think that you're going to have a bad day, it's probably going to be a bad day. If you wake up and think you're going to have a good day, then you're going to have a good day. And she's always taught me to find the good in every day. So I have just really tried to look at it in a positive way because I honestly don't have a choice. I am leading 56 kids just in fourth grade in my classes. So if I am a negative person, then they have no other choice but to be negative. So I've tried really hard to just be a positive in their life and just wake up every morning ready to go. And, I mean, it's hard, but I feel like it's part of my job to be positive for them. So I don't think I have any other choice but to be that way.
All right, we're going to get ready to step away for a break. You got anything else? Anybody you want to give a shout-out to before we let you go here?
Or any final thoughts?
Thank you all for having me. And letting me talk a little bit. I'm really, really proud of Riley, so I want to say that again.
Yeah.
And I miss my softball team more than they will ever know. I miss my kids, and I just want to give a shout-out to all of my family that's listening because I know you guys are still listening. And a special friend in Estill County, I know he's listening, too. I know that's not, you know, our county, but he's listening, so I just wanted to give him a shout-out, too. But my family, I love you guys, and I can't wait to see you all again.
Well, thank you very much. It was a great interview. We'll step away for another break here on PCSN with Dave and Ken here on WSKB 104.9 FM.
Stanton Ace Hardware, your hometown hardware store, is now taking appointments for service on all lawn and garden power equipment. They service and repair all major brands of mowers, string trimmers, chainsaws, and blowers. Stanton Ace Hardware is a full service and sales dealer for Steel, Husqvarna, Echo, and Skag zero-turn mowers. They have 3 certified technicians on duty most days. Buy there and have it serviced there at your Stanton Ace Hardware. Also on staff, Josh Powell, servicing all of your four-wheelers and side-by-sides. Stop by your Stanton Ace Hardware today, located right next door to the main Ace Hardware building in the old Roses Garden Center. Ace, the helpful place.
Simplify your banking. Simplify your life. It's easy with People's Exchange Bank. The world has become fast-paced, and we understand that you are busy. That's why we offer a banking experience that's as simple and stress-free as can be. People's Exchange Bank goes beyond convenient locations and good customer care to offer online and mobile banking services that make managing your finances quicker and easier than ever before. We know what it takes to make our customers happy. Ready to give these handy services a whirl? Sign up today at www.pebank.com. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
You need to check with Monty from Protect Security. There's no install charge on the base system. No phone line is needed, so all you have to worry about is a small monthly fee. They can install cameras. They can do full home automation, fully interactive, so that you can lock your doors when you're away from home. That's your local security company. Protect Security, keeping your home, business, or other location safe and secure. Give them a call today, 663-9348.
Hearn Funeral Home has been family-owned since 1939 and is currently under the direction of Hondo Hearn. They have proudly served the families of Powell County and other surrounding counties for over 75 years, helping them to celebrate with compassionate care, dignity, and respect at an affordable price. Contact Hearn Funeral Home for all your pre-planning needs at 606-663-4375.
And welcome back to PCSN with Dave and Ken. This again is our spotlight show. This is recognizing our, try to recognize as many senior athletes in sports as we can through the spring season. And this is the folks we would have covered on WSKV with our sports spot. So again, thanks to our sponsors who have covered us throughout all season long. And this is your time to shine. I know WSKV is trying to run as many of your ads throughout the day as you can as well, to give you a little bit of your, I guess, bang for your buck that you've already paid for these spots. So, again, thanks to our sponsors for allowing us to do these shows. And, again, to spotlight our seniors. And Raleigh Mays was fantastic tonight in her interview. And then Megan came on kind of impromptu and did a good job as well. And, again, want to make sure we think about Lexi Crabtree. And we may try to get her on here at a later time or call next couple of weeks or so, and try to go back and get her on when we do maybe the baseball. So next week we plan to have Coach Frank Spencer on here and maybe do the entire show with Frank if he's available for next week. We'll get up with him sometime this week and check on that. And then hopefully to follow that up with the baseball seniors. And we may have to spread that out over a couple of weeks because I think there were several baseball seniors to talk to, and you know, maybe even talk to their parents or something as well. Get some folks on that can share a little bit with us. It is a different time, Ken, with no sports going on. There's, I actually watched, the eSports Bristol race was on eSports this weekend. Did you happen to see that or anything?
Actually, I did, because there's really nothing on, right?
You know,
in a sense. Definitely interesting. You know, it's definitely different, but very clever and creative in a sense to at least have some type of sport, you know, where they're actually announcing, you know, kind of doing the play-by-play, if you will.
From home.
Yeah, from home under those circumstances, yeah, with the professional drivers, you know, who are actually competing. And obviously the NBA is trying to do that as well with, yes, their little tournament. I'm not sure where they are with that. I've not been able to keep up with it. I know Devin Booker and DeMarcus Cousins, two former UK players, were actually in that tournament. I'm not sure if they've advanced or not, but very clever. Now they're looking to do a horse tournament, in a sense, where players will be able to be in their own home or wherever it might be in order to take a shot. Now all of a sudden the camera goes back to the other player in their facility,
cool,
in order to play, you know, to redo that shot to play horse. So at least there's some creativity, if anything, that's kind of going on. You know, the American spirit is still alive and well,
yeah,
even though we're kind of in this lull period, in a sense.
Can you imagine the money these video guys will be making after this is over with? Because this stuff is going to be out there for the world to see. And, you know, when you got all these race car drivers of NASCAR sitting behind a high-tech, if you will, game to,
right,
drive their car around the Bristol track. It was really different, but it was kind of fun because I've played that NASCAR game on my PlayStation before. And, well, I'll tell you what, you can wreck a lot. And they were talking about that on the air. A couple guys even got mad and left the game, you know, when they got wrecked. But there's always something that you can find to do. Again, spend time with your family. I've actually tried to build some furniture and I got finished today, and I got to just get it covered. So there's always things that folks can do. It's kind of like what Megan said, to always find something positive to do when you can, and spending time at home with family is really nice. On the flip side, when you have to spend home time alone, it gets kind of lonely, I guess, for you at times, right?
It can, but I'm trying to do things that I've put on the back burner, in a sense. I do writing, and so therefore I'm in the process of writing a novel. I'm about 50,000 words in to that, so it's given me time to get into that frame of mind, in a sense. And I dabbled in it sometime, you know, over the,
right,
past several months, but this has definitely given me a lot more time to spend doing that. Now, I'm not saying it's ever going to be published or anything. I don't know. I have to cross that bridge once I get to it, but I have to get the finished product. But again, doing something along those lines, you know, using your time wisely, So any projects out there, like you said, even the furniture, et cetera, people find creative ways to use their time as opposed to binge watching, you know, too many TV shows in a sense. At least get up and be active, even if you're walking in your neighborhood, walking around the backyard, you know, finding ways to stay active. The last thing we want to do, Kentucky is not a very healthy state collectively. So therefore, you know, hopefully we can come out of this a little bit more healthier in that regards, as far as people getting up and still getting some exercise.
Yeah, and that's something you see from Governor Beshear every day on his 5 o'clock news conference. Stay active, stay moving, stay whatever, but keep your distance. Stay at home, and again, keep your distance if you're out. We'd like to thank everybody for tuning in tonight, regardless of where you're from, here on this PCSN with Dave and Ken. Thanks for listening to WSKV. We'll talk to you next week, 6 o'clock.
Thanks for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken from the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton. This program is hosted by Ken Simon and David Faulkner. Production is done by Ethan Moore. Programming is done by Angela Osborne. PCSN Live with Dave and Ken is a Pickup Country 104.9 production. Tune in live next week or on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcasts.
Eastern Kentucky's Country, WSKV 104.9 FM.
And on the web
at WSKVFM.com.